You're listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast with your hosts, Bobby McMahon and Owen O'Callaghan.
Welcome to this week's Soccer Report Extra podcast, the fourth part of our mini-series on Premier League previews. We've been through teams 1 through 15. We have five to go. We will complete them before we leave today. With me is Owen O'Callaghan. I'm Bobby McMahon. At the controls, we have producer Luke Crawford. So here we are. We're sending Luke to the sandwich bag to make the draw. And the team out of the bag is Bolton Wanderers. Bolton, a team that started very well last year, top six for the longest time, and unfortunately hit the skids, for Bolton fans that is, and finished 14th. What happened?
An inevitable collapse, wasn't it?
That we, of course, talked about, didn't we? No, we didn't.
At the time. Bolton went so well that I composed an article about Owen Coyle.
That's right.
Praising him.
And that was probably just when it started to go all wrong.
Was it about October last year? Yeah. Maybe a little bit later.
They lasted November, a bit maybe? Longer than that.
Yeah.
But they did plummet.
They struggled. Particularly the second half of the season, their goals dried up.
Yeah. It's strange, though, when you look at the last season, the league table, though. Bolton finished 14th on 46 points. Fulham finished 8th on 49 points. It wasn't much between them, I'm not sure how much we can actually read into the actual positions of many of these teams from last season.
No.
But Bolton scored 52, conceded 56, so the goals dried up for them a little bit.
Well,
they did have moments. I remember the win against Newcastle was a tremendous win. That was probably their peak.
Yeah, they've lost Elmander.
They have no idea where to find him.
yeah. He actually went missing around about January.
He did, yes. They actually released him long before officially released because he did.
They've also had to contend with injuries already.
Stuart Holden from last year.
Was
a big miss.
Lee has picked up a season preseason injury.
A bad broken leg, as if there's such a thing as a good broken leg.
6 months.
Yeah. No, it does sound like a complicated one.
And Tyrone Mears, who they had just signed from Burnley,
yeah,
as part of a deal with Chris Eagles,
yes,
he's now on the injury list as well.
Yeah. Dan Pratley brought in, interesting, Nigel Rhea-Coker,
who is a bit of a Bolton-type player, isn't he?
I think he gives a little bit of cover for Muamba.
He's a little versatile.
Yeah.
Can play in midfield or a full-back.
Yeah, he can play badly in both positions.
That's terrible.
But yeah, he's a player that some years ago with West Ham, he just seems to have a prickly personality that seems to upset some managers. He finished up moving from West Ham to Aston Villa, big money move.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite work out with him there. He got in Martin O'Neill's bad books. Didn't work out there. But the transfer out, you look at Elmander, he's going to Galatasaray. How many players have Turkish clubs signed this year?
I'm not sure. And because they're
I didn't actually need an exact
is
number.
In disarray. Sorry, you were talking. It was a rhetorical question.
Yes, it was. Yes.
The Turkish league in absolute disarray. So there's probably going to be just a collapse.
I'll be like Chris Boyd. Now I want to come home.
Yeah, Elmander be going, oh, listen, I really love Bolton.
Yeah.
They've also lost Matty Taylor.
Yeah, Matty Taylor didn't quite do it at Bolton, did he?
Not really.
Good player for Portsmouth.
Left foot.
Yeah.
Had his moments when you go, whatever happened to Matty Taylor?
Taylor.
And then he just disappeared again.
Yeah.
And now he's subsequently disappeared to West Ham. But, yeah, a strange season for Owen Coyle. Well, firstly, it's his second season.
And they've lost Daniel Sturridge, loan signing from last year. Jack Wilshere, they had the year before. They talked about Jeffrin signing at one point. He's gone to, Sporting Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to his team in Portugal anyway. So is he going to come up with a magical loan signing at some point?
Well, the player they wanted last January was Carlos Vela, and he ended up going to West Brom.
He's got a couple of vital goals.
So then they turned their attention to Sturridge. Someone got Sturridge.
Yeah.
And what an incredible deal that turned out to be.
Yeah.
But the thing is, do Bolton have to wait until January in order to get
that
a little
loan
bit
signing.
Of life back in.
Because that's kind of what happened with Wilshere as well. Did Wilshere go in the year loan?
I think it was 6 months.
Sturridge was a short-term loan as well. But yeah, you also wonder as well, it can be a two-edged sword here, because you can see managers going, well, send him Owen Coyle, comes back a better player. the other side of it is a sentiment on Coyle makes Bolton a better team.
Yeah.
A much better team.
They have got, obviously, their fundamental foundation. I mean, Jaskalainen still there as number one keeper. They've got guys like Gretar Stenson.
Yeah, underrated fullback, I believe.
Yes,
I think.
Absolutely, and so consistent. Yes. You know, and elsewhere...
Can they hold on to Gary Cahill? They're asking a lot of money for him, but they've got a lot of debt.
Well, the thing is, I think they really need to weigh up what the priorities are, because if they keep with this ridiculous transfer fee for Gary Cahill, who pretty much is a traditional centre-back, no flair, just pretty much straight down the line, tough as nails, physical guy, and they're saying, what, over 20 million? It's ridiculous. He's not worth that at all. But maybe they'll be in a situation that they have to cave in eventually. I would take the money.
Yeah.
I would take the money. I mean, you can find decent centre-backs, like what Birmingham did last season. It had Roger Johnson and Scott Dann, who they've sold subsequently for decent chunks of money. So it can be done. No better person to do it than Owen Coyle. So I would take the money, but still, you know, they don't want to set that precedent of setting their bigger names already and you know, set them off on a poor journey or whatever it is. But I'm
back to the personality, the thing the crowd have been waiting for.
If Bolton were a Hollywood personality, they would be Jessica Simpson. After a divorce from
a cartoon
someone,
character.
That's Jessica Rabbit, man.
Oh, sorry.
After a divorce from someone who seemingly understood them, they began to yo-yo. But with a new man, hard to see if the relative good times will last.
Is she the one that's married to Homer? Sorry.
I'm going to get me caught.
Wolverhampton! That's just as well you did the Mick McCarthy accent there.
Well, people have asked for that.
I think we should do this complete Wolves preview a la Mick McCarthy.
Oh, dear.
Bloody hell.
I don't know if the listeners will. Will that look great after a while?
Okay. Wolverhampton, where'd they finish last year? They escaped relegation, but my goodness, it was tight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very, very tight. They finished 17th, 40 points, but it came down to that late goal. Jamie O'Hara, I believe the scorer, against Blackburn, got it back to 3-2. Lost the game, but...
Stephen Hunt, sorry,
yes.
O'Hara scored the first one,
yeah. Lost the game, but won the day.
It's hard to see how much they can push on.
They spent money again.
They have, which is terrific. They've made the O'Hara signing a permanent deal. He was on loan last year.
I thought he made a difference to them.
I thought he did as well. Yeah. I think he's got fundamental aspects to his game which flourish at a team like Wolves.
He's got the ability to put his foot on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he's quite a confident young player as well. And I think that's the kind of thing that Wolves actually needed, because so much of Wolves last year was, as it was the year before, rush, 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 rush.
Yeah.
Everything was 2,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you got O'Hara, it just went, boom.
Yeah.
And he was rushing around and he just pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
And suddenly there was a little bit of structure to their game.
Yeah, as we touched upon, also a good man from A, set pieces, and B, to get you a goal when you badly need one.
Left-sided as well. He's got that left foot.
Mm-hmm. Also, we just mentioned...
Roger Johnson
developing centre backs at your club and then selling them on for a nice little transfer fee.
Yeah.
Case in point, Roger Johnson, who Wolves have spent a lot of money on. clearly, Mick McCarthy went last year. Yeah, guys at the back, you're all crap.
Yeah.
And we need to just have
you
a little bit of
there.
Calming
you'd
influence.
Stearman there.
Stearman, yeah.
Stearman.
Dear.
Oh,
yeah.
No. You pretty much know what you're going to get from him.
Stearman.
Straight ahead.
Oh, Dearman.
Yeah. Better.
That was terrible.
Better.
I apologize.
Better at times looks like you could do it. But you look at their goals against, 66 goals against. But the one thing just stood out, and we talked about this a number of times on the Fox Soccer Report last year, was the thing that just stuck out for me was the spirit of that Wolves team. Because no matter what happened to them, no matter how many times they lost late goals, and they lost tons of late goals, they kept on coming back. And they had a terrific record against the top teams. They beat United. They beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
They beat City. They drew with Tottenham.
Those big days out, all, correct me if I'm wrong,
they
came
beat
at
Molineux. No, they didn't beat Liverpool. Yes. No. They lost 3-0 to Liverpool at Molineux, but they beat United there. They pushed United at Old Trafford as well.
Yeah, they did.
They beat City, I think, 2-1 at Molineux as well. Chelsea, I think, was a Molineux win as well. And Tottenham was a 3-3 draw at
Molineux. The point that we're getting at here, for people listening,
was their home forum.
Yeah.
Yeah, their away forum was pretty drastic.
And it's, you know, when you do get a promoted side, we talked about it Friday, it's always a case of, oh, you put everything behind your home form. Wolves struggled on the road. They obviously, you know, aren't a promoted side this campaign, but certainly, once again, people would be a little bit wary of going to Molineux. You know, at the end,
on a cold Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean,
wet Wednesday.
Can a lot of great players do it on a cold Wednesday night at Molineux? But it is difficult to see how they probably even dig their way out of 14th, 15th. You know, it's
Stephen Fletcher 150-1 against being top scorer. Kevin Doyle 80-1. Not going to happen, is it?
Doyle, I mean, let's
hard
face
working
it.
Player.
Doyle.
Missed him at the end of last... He was out at the end of last season, wasn't he?
Yeah,
And they managed to survive. And Stephen Fletcher really came up. Remember, we talked about how important he was at the end of the season. He really came through for them.
And it's just... like, Doyle. I've watched Doyle since he was a kid. Used to play for Cork City in the League of Ireland. From Wexford, originally. That hard-working mentality...
He's one of the Doyles from Wexford?
Oh, he is one of the Doyles. You know them. That is... Isn't Ireland such a small place?
One of the Wexford Doyles.
Yes. But that hard-working mentality, he had it, you know, even at that stage. Just it was like just an engine, just kept on going. And just would put in such a shift in every game.
Yeah.
Does it international level? Does it Wolves? It's reasons for that why he's such a fan's favourite.
I think they can go up a couple of spots this year. I really do. Roger Johnson, I'm a big fan of Roger Johnson. Jamie O'Hara be there permanently for the year. Stephen Fletcher, every year under his belt, I think, is an improvement.
Yeah.
If Doyle keeps on going.
Matt Jarvis,
a good season last year. They've lost David Jones, but he was kind of on the outs. He went on a free to Wigan. He was kind of on the outs for a large part of last season anyway. I just get the feeling that Wayne Hennessy bit up and down in the goal last year.
Good shot stopper.
I think good shot stopper, but so many big goalkeepers, we think they should be good in the air on cross balls, and they're not. Somebody's decision making. But I just have the feeling that Wolves, and I felt this way last year as well, and they never really came through for me, but I think they can go up a couple of spots. Personality.
Cheryl Cole.
Oh my goodness. I can't think of a more un-Wolves-like personality.
In front of their own fans, things usually go well. But a terrible traveller. And that inability to impress on the road affects chances of any sustained survival.
Oh, I was thinking whenever you talked about being on the road, had a partner there. I thought you were going to talk about a partner that was always playing away from home.
Former partner
always playing away from home. They're not made up.
Maybe they have.
I don't know.
I
think Luke summed it up. Who cares?
Who cares?
Wigan. We're narrowing it down. Man City has not come out the sandwich bag yet.
What does that mean? Due to I'm not good at maths.
No, I think we've got two left. We've got a few. Keep on going. Okay, we're on Wigan.
Wigan.
Narrowly avoided relegation again.
Roberto Martinez staying with the club.
Yeah.
Rejecting the advances
of
that better looking, successful woman who was chatting them up at the bar. He just went, no.
I'm going
home to my kind of uglier, less attractive, cheaper girlfriend. See you later. Which is to be respected.
Which is to be respected.
I should say older sugar daddy in Dave Whelan.
Yeah.
Because those two have a great partnership.
Were you surprised that Martinez stuck with them? Like, Whelan had indicated he was going to stick with Martinez even if they got relegated. Is this Martinez showing that there is some honour in football still? Or just misplayed naivety?
I loved watching Wigan last season. Because they had a guy in charge who...
He kept with it no matter the results.
And he clearly had a rapport with his players.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on the podcast when they were struggling with relegation. Sometimes it's stuff like that, a relationship in a dressing room that gets players given that extra 5% that they need in big games. And, you know, was it surprising that Martinez stayed? He's still a very young guy. And, you know, he's...
Another few seasons like that, he's going to age pretty quickly.
Yeah, probably. That black hair will turn grey quite quickly. But he seems to be very intelligent and with it. And, you
but
know...
People have said the same about us.
Good grief. Who are those people? And when will they be committed? but I just
shows
think
you what they know.
Sure, yeah, exactly. But I think that they will inevitably struggle again. They've lost Nzogbia.
Who replaces Nzogbia?
Now, what did they do with that money? You see,
Went to the sugar daddy, I think, to fill the hole when the sugar the sugar melted away last year. But they've got obviously Wigan have got to be losing money. And they're relying on Whelan. So Nzogbia, for 15 million, it's time for Martinez to do what Steve Bruce did when he was there, which is pile into the foreign transfer market and pick up a couple of gems.
Think so?
Well, I think it's only a way out for them. They spent money on Boselli last year,
oh,
who turned
dear.
Out to be a... And why they signed Boselli with his record of injuries before
disaster.
That. He went to Genoa on loan. He's back to Estudiantes now, I think, on loan as well, according to the notes I have. But you've got to think that they need an Nzogbia kind of player. Now, James McCarthy in the middle of the field, Ben Watson, young midfield that really came through last year. Now, cleverly, he's gone back to Manchester United.
Mm-hmm.
Can they pick up some loan signings?
Pressure's on as we inch ever closer to the new campaign. And if they don't have stuff sorted, if they don't have a strong kind of foundation before the start of the season, it's very difficult to see, you know, how it can magically arrive. The Nzogbia presence is huge.
Huge.
It just, I mean...
Great sign from Villa, but we haven't got to Villa yet.
Terrific. I mean, it was the game against Blackpool, wasn't it? When Nzogbia took the game by the scruff of its neck. And
the late one against... who was it? The one he won in the last minute after being 2-0 down.
Oh, that was it Villa? No, it wasn't.
No, there. Can't remember. We'll get it eventually.
We'll get it. But, I mean, you look at...
West Ham.
It was West Ham. Sorry, that was the game I was thinking about. Hugo Rodriguez.
Hit and miss. He's going to get you 7 or 8 goals. But
and the thing is that Rodriguez really had a partnership with Nzogbia, didn't he?
He did.
So, you know, you're almost losing on both fronts when you take Nzogbia out of that equation.
Only 40 goals last year.
Yeah.
God, only Birmingham scored less, I believe.
And the thing is, do they get in the market for a...
Can't afford it.
A well-known...
Because I haven't got the money. Can't do it.
Even if there's a...
Sorry to be so decisive about that. But they haven't got the money to sign the out-and-out 20-goal scorer. So few clubs can.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a gamble. It's they're 50-1 Rodriguez finishing top scorer. Not going to happen. Who are they if they're a personality?
Here's an interesting one.
They've all been interesting, Owen. All been interesting, believe me.
I spent a long time in this.
I know, it's tough. Yeah.
If Wigan were a Hollywood celebrity,
yes,
they would be Melanie Griffith. Has never altered their style. Could be seen as brave or stupid. Always seems to be struggling, but with foreign influence by their side, things will always be okay.
That's a good one. That's a very good one. Now you're going to tell everybody who Melanie Griffiths is?
I was going to say Martinez and Banderas separately.
Antonio Banderas / Roberto Martinez, have they at any time been seen in the same room together?
That's true. Good point you make. Okay. Oh, 2 to go. Aston Villa, Manchester City, and it is Aston Villa. Going through managerial changes, upheavals again, as they did last year. Martin O'Neill walked out of them last year at this time. Gerard Houllier, after a long, drawn-out process, eventually was hired, along with Gary McAllister. Houllier has health problems. He goes. Who could have seen that coming?
Yes, health problems.
In comes Alex McLeish from Birmingham City. Fans not happy. Are Aston Villa going to be the better for it?
No.
No, I think so.
McLeish's track record's poor.
I would point out that McLeish's track record is actually very, very skitsy. And that McLeish's track record to begin with clubs is actually very strong.
Well,
To begin with. So the first year could actually be quite good for Villa, I think.
Losing Downing and Young, two huge
blows. Got Nzogbia.
You've got Nzogbia, but I mean, you lose two, you replace him.
You got
one.
Al Brighton playing wide there. You got Barry Bannon coming in. He's going to be a year more under his belt.
I just can't see it.
No.
I think
D'Alfonso getting a crack up front.
Nah, I don't rate him.
Bonlaw didn't have a good year last year.
They've got fundamental problems with that side. The one I think, apart from Inzaghi, they've also brought in Shea Given, which is, I mean, how other Premier League teams have just let him wait in the wings.
But the one thing, the thing I find interesting about Shea Given is they brought him in, and Shea Given is almost the identikit to Brad Friedel. Both very good shot stoppers, both a little bit dodgy when they have to come off the line, and rely on big, strong centre-halves. One thing that Villa didn't have last year was decisive centre-halves. James Collins and Richard Dunn did not have a good season.
No, and I think it would be
I mentioned Richard Dunn, and he struck silent.
It would be naive to expect anything different for the new campaign. Firstly, McLeish is a former centre back.
Yes.
Secondly, he comes in from his time at Birmingham, having essentially helmed and overseen the development of two very good centre backs in Scott Dan and Roger Johnson.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen whether or not he can wave his magic wand at turning James Collins and Richard Dunn into an improved defensive partnership.
You look at Birmingham last year; they only scored 37 goals under McLeish, which was obviously a stake through the heart of their Premiership hopes. But they only conceded 58. And you go through, Bolton conceded 56, Stoke 48, Newcastle 57. You know, we talked about West Brom, Sunderland. Aston Villa actually conceded more goals than Birmingham last year. Only one, but they conceded 59 and 58. But Villa finished ninth. It's because they scored 11 more goals.
It could have been a lot worse than ninth.
It could have been. Once again, we're back to this. Aston Villa 48 points, finishing ninth. Bolton Wanderers finishing 14th on 46, only 2 points difference, but a significant number of placings were different.
What's going to be interesting to see is Gerard Houllier came into Aston Villa and was pretty much handed a free rein. They spent an obscene amount of money in getting Darren Bent from Sunderland.
Yeah.
Something that Martin O'Neill wasn't allowed to.
But something that Alex McLeish didn't have at Birmingham, a reliable goal scorer.
Yes.
I may regret this, but I think Villa are back to a top eight team this year.
Ooh, that's really optimistic.
This year.
Well, they've lost. They've lost Downing.
Yeah,
he was terrific last year.
You're just doing that to satisfy Liverpool.
So many assists.
You're playing up to Liverpool fans.
I'm not playing
up to
them.
Too.
They've lost Young.
Yeah,
Livewire, dynamic, really really strong season. They brought in Zogbu. Yeah. But this is Inzaghi's really time to step up to the mark and be counted. They're putting essentially emphasis on players last year, younger players who pretty much weren't up to scratch. I just don't see it.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see when Friday comes, after the end of this, after the Friday night show on the Fox Soccer, we're going to predict, we're going to do our 1 through 20 predictions, going to be posted on Fox Soccer Report Extra, along with the three promoted teams and probably top scorer. So that time will come. But Aston Villa, personality-wise, this one's going to be interesting.
If Aston Villa were a Hollywood personality, they would be Jennifer Lopez. Contented and successful until a messy divorce. Waiting to see if a new man brings inevitable unhappiness.
Oh, dear. I thought you were going to say something about being big at the back.
Could have done that.
And had visions of Richard Dunn flashing through my head there.
Why Richard Dunn? Why not James Collins first, you see?
I just think Richard
Dunn's got more at the back.
More at the back. He has a kind of similar build in certain ways.
And you be correct.
Yeah. And most importantly, Jennifer Lopez isn't a ginger.
That's a good point. If she did, stuff would have been a lot different.
Okay, last one out of the hat. Ooh, Manchester City, fresh off a Community Shield loss after leading 2-0 against Manchester United. City go down 3-2. I don't think it's a stretch to say that Roberto Mancini will be under pressure again this year. They have spent the money. They splashed the cash on Sergio Aguero. As we tape today, we have no idea whether Carlos Tevez is still going to be around. Corinthians, apparently, There is apparently as many big teams interested in Carlos Tevez as are interested in Joey Barton.
Interesting.
When it comes down to it.
What do those two players have? An agent that talks a lot. Yeah. That's interesting.
But there's only one agent called Willie.
Yes. We're back to Willies again.
Yes. It's a theme.
This lowest common denominator of this podcast.
So City,
just smut is what it turns into.
So City, the last 4 years, position 9th, 55 points, then moved down to 10th with 50 points, and then they moved to 5th. Was that just me or did that table move? How did you do that?
Some divine intervention just happened.
I think it was Luke. Well, that's close to divine as we're going to find any place around here. Then they moved up to 5th, 67 points, 3rd, 71 points, and the 71 was on goal difference with Chelsea.
Yep.
So they got heavily criticised for their defensive play or their propensity for defensive play last year. They finished with only 21 wins, same as Chelsea, but they scored fewer goals. I conceded the same number, 33, joint top with Chelsea last year. Joe Hart, I think, had a ton of shoutouts last
year.
He won
the Golden Glove.
Yeah, 15, along with Peter Cech.
Can it be a gayest name for an award?
What?
The Golden Glove.
I always think it's boxing.
Is it supposed to be heroic?
It's supposed to be boxers.
The Golden Glove. What is that? Just give them an award. Don't give them any name. Why does it have to be golden?
Could be the best goalkeeper award.
How about that? Such a rare idea.
Yes. Anyway. Gael Clichy comes in. Sergio Aguero comes in. Stefan Savic comes in from Partizan Belgrade. Out goes Joao. Shaw Given. Jerome Boateng. So there's three mistakes being buried.
Yes.
And what's in store for Manchester City? Is it a league title? Is it the same again? Is it Mancini holding on to his job? Is it Gary Cook saying something stupid?
Let's try to predict this. City don't win the league title.
Okay.
And at the end of the season, at the end of this season, Mancini goes.
Yeah. How do you think, and this is a question I got through email, what makes Manchester City any different than Tottenham Hotspur last year? I have that. I have my answer to that.
So do I. Lots more money.
Bigger squad. Stronger squad.
And
defensively more resolute.
A little bit more of a concrete, raw material vibe to them.
We can't really avoid talking about Manchester City and talking about the Community Shield a little bit, because the one thing that struck me was when City have that Chelsea look about them without that extra bit of kind of pace about them, but they have that grinding out. When City are on tune, they kind of grind out the route. They just grind through their opponents. Silva is there to pick opponents apart when he's on his game, but they're a big, strong team that just kind of continues to go forward. But they also look slow at times as well, and they look a little bit mesmerised. And it's very interesting when you look at a kind of Dzeko up front as opposed to Aguero up front. Very different types of players. I have to think that City's future is more built around Aguero than it is built around Dzeko.
I continue to be amazed at Manchester City, particularly in the transfer market. You look at names you just mentioned. Now, Shea Given was brought in under Mark Hughes. Jerome Boateng, signed by Roberto Mancini. And then Mancini just kind of went, yeah, I don't like him. What, you paid a handsome amount of money to bring him to your club? Yeah, I don't really like him now. Kolarov, also, even though he started in the Community Shield final, is pretty much surplus to requirements. I think if they got a genuine offer for him, they'd ship him out. They just paid 16 million quid for Kolarov.
That was a lot of money.
It's
good going forward.
Balotelli, another prime example of complete waste of money.
But you look at the city signings up front over the last few years, apart from Tevez and Aguero, you go Roque Santa Cruz, mm-hmm. Joao.
Yep.
Dzeko, Balotelli.
Adebayor.
Adebayor, good. Yeah, forgot about him. They still own him, don't they?
Yes.
Five players, all big, strong forwards. Going the big, strong forward route when so many teams... bring the Jonathan Wilson kind of comment in about how so many teams have gone to diminutive players because the space in the penalty box mm-hmm. is so restricted that you actually... bigger players are easy to stop.
Yeah.
Small, diminutive players who are quick, sharp, turn, are actually the way the game has gone.
The huge standout for me watching the Community Shield was City's lack of mobility up top.
Yeah. Now, is that down to just early season fitness, or is that just built in? Is that the way that Mancini's built this team?
I think it's twofold. You take out Tevez from that team, straight away you lose his movement.
Yeah.
Now, Aguero should slot in there and be a perfect kind of replacement.
But Aguero doesn't come as deep as Tevez does. No, he doesn't. Aguero sits on the shoulder
and
of
Aguero
the defender.
Usually is quite central. He doesn't.
If he moves anyway, he moves left.
Yeah. So that's something to pick up on. David Silva, once again for me in Community Shield, just battled out of the game. He just disappeared into himself. I think that his physicality is a problem. I think he loses the ball cheaply in tackles. We look at the referee going, "I was fouled," and you're like, "You weren't." You're just not strong enough. He just looks to me to be too balletic and, you know, just ballerina-like on the ball, which is great. I mean, he's got a lot of talent, don't get me wrong, and I like Silva as a player, but, you know, you need more consistent displays for 90 minutes.
Or is it maybe a case with Silva, there's just nobody else like him?
Maybe there's not, and maybe he struggles to do it on his own. I mean, even in Spain, and for a Spanish international team, he's never been that player.
Yeah.
You know, he's never had that amount of responsibility. He's been the guy who, combined with others, pops up and does some damage.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are other question marks about City. You look at the fullback positions. Gael Clichy bringing in, as you pointed out in a previous podcast, a limited fullback.
Yeah.
He's not going to cure their desire to essentially finally find a left back that they can rely on. On the other side, Michael Richards, good physical guy, but
does come with some problems.
Does come with problems.
And still hasn't fulfilled the potential.
Switches off a lot.
Yes, does. You know? Mental.
Just kind of can just lose it. It's just, you know, pass inside, doesn't go.
What happens to this team if company has a bad year?
Well, I think they could be in a lot of difficulty.
That's a major mistake on Sunday.
If, as happened on Sunday, Yaya Toure just doesn't even take his tracksuit top off.
He's just totally immobile. He's just
anonymous. Adding nothing to Dzeko. The interesting thing about Dzeko and the Community Shield, he scored the goal. He scored the goal because he had to come so far out the pitch to get the ball. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times he touched it in that first half.
Yeah.
And probably even quieter in the second period. Lots of question marks. Mancini's still rabbiting on about how he needs more players. That's going to grate on a lot of people after a while. Because they do have a lot of players. We still mentioned Adebayor. They still have Craig Bellamy. They still have a fullback.
Zabaleta. Anua. Yeah, it's from Sunderland, yeah. Zabaleta's got to come back.
Zabaleta's still there. You know, it could very quickly just bloat.
How long is Kolo Touré out for? I've never seen the suspension he received.
I think he could be back sooner rather than later.
Is it 6 months? Probably 6 months.
Because of the actual the wording of the suspension.
See, if he was Mexican, he'd be back already.
Yeah. Oh, it was the chicken. I swear.
It's a Mexican chicken.
Sorry, yeah. His wife's chicken. Yeah, it was just, she said it would make me lose weight. It was a special low-fat chicken.
It was the Weight Watchers chicken.
Got me 4 points.
So you don't think a league title's in the offing for Manchester City?
I don't think a league title.
How do you think they'll do in the Champions League?
If it's going to be similar to how they did in the Europa League, I would not hold much hope for them.
Think
they seem to just struggle very badly.
But
understanding
you're not think not th- well, it's quite easy. You just get on the plane now. They make it really easy, these companies.
Yes.
I think quarter final for them.
I think really?
Yeah, I think they make quarter final.
I don't think so.
No.
No. Okay.
Anyway,
I think group stage.
Group stage? Oh God, it's pretty tough to get knocked out of the group stage.
Heard it here first.
Okay. So, someone else we're waiting to hear. Manchester City's Hollywood personality.
Kim Kardashian.
Another one big at the back.
A big Middle Eastern influence. But overnight success comes with a lack of respect from Manny. How long can the project last before the wheels come off, especially with a dysfunctional family?
That's very good, Owen. That brings us to an end of our podcast. We've been through over the last 4 podcasts, all 20 teams from the Premier League. We'll be posting our 1-20 predictions for what it's worth on Soccer Report Extra. We encourage you to participate as well. We'll also have Fox Soccer Report League as part of Fox Football Fantasy League. That'll be up and posted, so there's a few of us participating in that this season. I'm Bobby McMahon, on behalf of Owen Callahan and producer Luke Crawford. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your day. Until the next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast. For more great soccer news, highlights, and analysis, watch the Fox Soccer Report every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Soccer and Fox Sports World Canada. And be sure to check out SoccerReportExtra.com daily for previews, opinions, and reviews. Music for this podcast provided by SoundJay.com.